proprietous opportunity to leave. Like, getting out while the getting's good. 23 Skidoo.
I'm going to start saying that. I'm totally going to start saying that.
Yeah, I have a dog.
That she lets lick her feet.
I'm not letting her.
Erin's nodding her agreement. Hell yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Erin puts peanut butter between her toes.
I do not. Hannah won't do dog. It. Don't lick me.
Oh, Piper will.
Lick her.
Dog. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
Freaky gal pal? Is that what
you said? Now I have to listen.
You think you'd be used to it by now.
I know, right?
One like, would
I
think.
Keep my mouth shut in the beginning.
Because I walked you directly into that.
I didn't even notice that you pushed it. I was still talking to Lincoln.
Man.
All right. Tonight I am drinking Colby Red from California. It's 2017. It's I think it's the last bottle that I had that came in like that shipment that we got.
Oh, really? Is that one of those?
Yeah, I think so. It says, just prior to his 10th birthday, Colby Groom underwent back-to-back open-heart surgeries. Inspired to raise awareness, Colby and his dad, notable winemaker Daryl Groom, created Colby Red as a way to raise funds for his heart-related charities. Colby is now a seasoned volunteer supporting heart health through North America. All right, that was a little bit sadder than I thought it would be. Normally, these are fun, but...
No. Oh, this whole episode's going to be sad.
God. Go heart health.
Yeah. Oh.
Now I don't even want to say anything bad about the wine. It's great.
Fantastic.
Great wine.
It can't be anything.
Well, even if you don't like it, the money still goes to charity, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm. It's like bad karma, though, to like talk shit about someone that raises money for childhood heart problems. Like, Jesus.
Right.
It's good wine.
It's great. Phenomenal.
It's not a malt liquor.
Okay, I'm drinking the first drink out of my saloon box that my brother got me. So far, they're good at their presentation. All the stuff I'm getting is very cute, but they seem a little bit like, I think they got like really overrun at Christmas time because they had to send me all the alcohol for 3 months worth because they were behind and their shipments weren't going in on time. So, this is the first one, and they forgot to give me nutmeg. They accidentally gave me two different things of lime, like salt instead. And they gave me a different rum than was listed on the ingredients. I got Sailor Jerry spiced rum, and it said it was supposed to be like something bay. So that's kind of weird, but the drink itself is not for me. It says, it's called the Antidote. The Antidote is inspired by a classic cocktail, the Painkiller. The Painkiller is a rum cocktail that is often associated with tiki establishments. Reputation has it that the original Painkiller was created in the 1970s at the Saki Dollar Bar at White Bay on the island of Joss Van Dyke in the British Virgin Islands. So it's spiced rum, coconut cream, orange juice, pineapple juice, and what should have been nutmeg, but I didn't have any. I don't like it. Maybe some people are into that kind of thing, but it just tastes like sour orange juice to me.
Stacey, I really love Sailor Jerry.
I've been gone all day at work, and so Piper has a goat toy that she's squeezing really loudly and growling at.
This tastes
so
sorry. It tastes like you're gonna have heartburn.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. That's also, never a good sign.
Soggy dollar sounds like something that people use to pay at a public pool. Pull it out of there.
I thought you were
pull it out
a strip
of the
club.
Oh, no, but you like pull it out of your bra. You know when it's super hot outside and somebody comes up and pulls cash directly out of their bra
so
to
gross.
Pay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Soggy dollar. That's what I'm gonna call it.
What really concerns me is when people pull money directly out of their wallet and it's still like damp.
Damp. Like, how sweaty are you?
Right. Like,
that it went through a leather wallet.
Your underwear, your jeans, your wallet,
all of
your
it.
Credit cards.
Ew.
A lot of excretion.
All of it. Oh, wait.
Well, do you want some kid heart-saving wine?
No. Okay. I'm good. I'm going to power through it. I made the double because it had like a thing on there to make a double, and I did it, so.
And I did it.
I'm going to power through.
Party.
That sounds like something I would have done.
I know.
And I did it.
I am drinking the Sophia Blanc de Blanc out of a bottle and not a can.
What?
And I'm like seriously afraid of opening like champagne and sparkling wine and stuff because it scares me. I don't like it. And I opened this one myself. So I was proud. But I made it into a mimosa because I am having a mimosa moment right now. I'm so obsessed with mimosas. I love them so much. They're just the greatest.
Now your vibrator's going off?
I am. Can we stop for a second? Sorry, my dad's calling me and he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, no.
No Aaron, need to apologize.
I am drinking Matua Sauvignon Blanc. I think I've had it on here before, but I'm going to be honest. I love it. And it was the only thing in the fridge. So, and it's not vodka because I haven't been drinking. So I was afraid if I drank vodka, I would be like 37 sheets to the wind. And I don't want to be hungover tomorrow because tomorrow is the Gulfport readout.
Aaron, you're supposed to drink vodka. The whole point is to drink wine.
No! I'm allowed to drink whatever I want, God damn it.
It's the weekly wine down, Aaron.
Not the weekly whatever down. The fuck you want, Aaron.
Yeah.
You know what? That's what we should call this one. All right. No, but I know I'm supposed to drink wine, but like I've said in the past, I'm typically on like some sort of low carb bullshit diet, dumb fuck. And
is that just for January? Because February's in a couple days.
Yeah, I know.
Are you having a damp January?
Yeah,
moist January.
Slightly moist, not like super moist, just. Like
humid,
not like a Dunkin'
humid
Trains
January.
Moist.
Yeah,
it's been it's
not like a sloppy wet mess January. It's just a little moist.
Yeah, not like normal.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
I hate that word.
Moist.
Yeah, so much.
I already hate that word so much.
I don't know. It makes me think of cake.
Me too.
It's not comfy. I don't like it.
I love moist cake.
Right. Me too.
Yeah, me. Me too. I like cake.
Would you like dry cake?
I don't like
that
word, though.
Yeah.
No.
Do you like wet cake?
Yes. I don't want it moist. I surely don't want it moist.
Yeah, you
moist know. Cake is okay. I can say like, oh, that cake is really moist. That's okay. But when someone's like, oh, it's moist. Ugh.
Like that dollar bill pulled out of that guy's wallet.
Is it because of the images it pulls up?
Perhaps. Like I also just moist. Don't like the oy like vowel sound is not appealing to me.
It makes me think of like why Stacey has to like sleep with no underwear on after she works out.
I don't have to. Let's get this straight, guys.
Because she's been in a leotard all day.
Things are moist.
Yeah, it's like a rainforest.
Her dingly bits.
I don't think that's moist. I don't think a rainforest is moist.
No.
I think that's considered damp.
Dingly bits.
What dingles?
What do I have dingling?
It's just what I tell Lincoln when I'm changing him that I gotta wipe his dingly bits. So
how did we get on this? What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Neither. Let's change gears. Grind it real far down.
All right, go ahead. You want to talk about Kobe?
I do want to talk about Kobe. Ugh, I'm like, I would like to preface this by saying if you would have asked me a week ago if I was a Kobe Bryant fan, I would have said no because I'm a Warriors fan. And that's like, in sports, you have this like very territorial like relationship to other teams and other players and stuff. I'm not a Lakers fan. I hate the Lakers, whatever. But like when this happened, I literally couldn't even believe it. Like my mom texted me. And was like, oh my God, did you hear that Kobe Bryant died? And I was like, it's one of those people to me that's like, that's unbelievable. Like, I know I texted you guys. So I like Googled it. It was barely even coming up in the news yet. Like, it was just crazy. And he's one of those people to me that like is almost larger than life to the fact that you're like, he just can't die. Like, he's like superhuman. And the second it happens, all of those grudges and those rivalries and all of those literally just go aside, and you're like, man, he was really, really talented. He was really great. But there were a couple things that I wanted to talk about just in regards to his life and his death and why it's so impactful and stuff. But one of the things I just wanted to get out of the way was his like sexual abuse allegations and all of that stuff that happened, because I think it's something that I don't think people should not talk about. I don't know. It's a weird thing, right? It's like when someone like that dies, it seems weird to talk about that kind of stuff. But at the same time, like, I think he was a really good example of somebody who messed up and apologized and learned from it. And in my mind, like, overcame it. Because he was, so when it happened, I don't know if you guys remember any of this. He was 24. I think this was in 2003. She was 19. She worked at a hotel. According to her, she worked at the hotel. He was staying there and he raped her. Like, that's what she said. They started kissing. That was consensual. But then he, you know, ripped her clothes off and, you know, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but accused him of rape. And so he right off the bat, he denied the whole thing. He said that they hung out and that was all that happened. And then when he found out that they had, like, done DNA tests and stuff, he finally was like, okay, no, that's what happened. But he thought that it was consensual. And so she didn't end up pressing charges. She later sued him. They settled out of court. But he had an apology that I felt like was really heartfelt, where he said, like, he believed that their encounter was consensual. And so going back and listening to her account of it and all of these things, he now understands that, like, she did not believe that to be the case. And so, you know, I thought it was a very heartfelt apology to her, and for her feeling that way and for putting her through that. And he made it very clear he in no way was blaming her or judging her or trying to say that this didn't happen. And, you know, that was in 2003. So since then, I think him and his wife have had one other time where they were, you know, going to get divorced. He was cheating on her. And, you know, I just don't get why people think it's their business to decide whether or not somebody should stay in a relationship like that. Like, what do you guys think? Because people have judged that a lot. Like, why would you stay with him? Why would you whatever? But, like, I really don't think that's anybody's business. And the fact that they loved each other and they took good care of their kids and, like, I think that's all that matters.
See, like, I have very mixed feelings about the whole thing. Like, you know, I read a really good post on Facebook just basically saying, like, you can mourn his death, but don't forget the things that he did. And I, you know, like, don't push him aside. Like, I right. definitely believe that. And I agree with that. I do think that he, like you said, he redeemed himself, I think, yeah. to a certain extent. I mean, we don't know all the details. We really don't right. know everything. Right. Like, he could have been a real dick at home. We don't know. But I'm assuming he wasn't, because he seemed like he was a very good father. Mm-hmm. And I think that at the end of the day is really how a man should be judged, is how they father their children or they treat their spouse or other women. And he may have grown up a lot since everything happened. Obviously, he probably did. So I truly think, like, it is not our job to judge him as a human being. We all do, because he was famous and everything he did was out there in the open. And it's hard, I think. And this is like that whole thing where you're in a position of power and then you take advantage of that. And then women fall prey to that because you think that you're basically your shit doesn't stink. And, like, that's not necessarily a good thing, but I think that he did come a long way from that. And we don't know what their home life was like now. It could have been 100% amazing. And him dying is horrifying. I was like, holy cow. Like, Gail, we were driving, like, from one Disney park to the next, and Gail literally got the TMZ alert, which we later found out they did before anyone knew. Mm-hmm. But Like that, I literally was like, oh my God, are you serious? Because my whole thing with Kobe was always like, he always tried to be better than Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan was my era. You know, that was, he was my guy. So like Michael Jordan, who is far from fucking perfect, I was like, hell, Michael, Kobe Bryant, fuck Kobe Bryant. You know, but like now I'm like, oh my God, like this is a man who lived a crazy fucking life, crazy. Mm-hmm. Like he, to get like drafted out of high school, to not have to go to college and still be worth $500 million, or was it million,
like
or
700 million?
Yeah, like so much money. And like, just to be able to make that legacy for himself, to create that for himself, aside from his sexual misconduct, like that's pretty impressive. And to see a flame like that burn out is hard. It's hard as a person who enjoys seeing sports people rise to fame, and who likes seeing that people can take what they love and make money from it. Like I enjoy that. The part with his wife though, and what their life is like, and that's hard, because at one minute I want to say it's someone's fucking business, but then at the same time it's everyone's business, because it was always out there. And it's sad that it was like that. And I wish it wasn't. I really wish that they could have kept all of that private just for them, for their family. I mean, that's gotta be difficult for her now to not only have to bury her husband and her daughter, but then to also have to deal with everybody being like, but he was a rapist. Like that's just, it's just so, I can't imagine what she's going through. I cannot imagine it.
Well, and it's interesting. Well, I was just going to add in too, like, it's really interesting when you talk about like the concept of rehabilitation, like, why is that not a thing that we can talk about? Because in my mind, he did. And I don't know if it's becoming a father or what it is. But, like, I don't know that there's a male athlete out there that has done more for female sports than Kobe Bryant.
Oh, I agree.
Seth Curry?
Yeah, 100%.
Huh?
Seth Curry?
Steph Curry? Yeah. I mean, maybe. But really, like, dedication to trying to make the WNBA, like, a legitimate organization and a legitimate thing. And I really don't think even Steph in his career has done more for women's sports than Kobe Bryant
Here's my take on Kobe Bryant. For what it's worth, I don't really care about Kobe Bryant one way or the other. I think it's always sad when someone young perishes, especially in something like a helicopter crash with his daughter, other young women and their parents. Like the whole, had it not been Kobe Bryant and had it been anyone, I would think it's absolutely tragic.
Oh,
it doesn't
for sure.
matter.
Yeah.
That being said, I do think people are entitled, especially like rape survivors, are entitled to feel however they want to feel. When I could see where it would upset some people who have gone through horrific sexual assault to see someone who was an admitted rapist, despite how he turned his life around or what he did afterwards or whatever, to see him be kind of idolized so much after the fact and only talking about all the great things about him. I could see where that would upset some people. Do I think that's the entirety of his character? No. I mean, people are complicated creatures. Like he obviously did, apparently, I mean, I don't know him personally, from all outside looking in, it looks like he tried his best to rectify the situation, but will that woman that it happened to ever be whole? I don't know. That's not for me to answer. Are any rape survivors ever whole again? I don't know. So I think it's a complicated answer. I don't think there's a right one, I guess is my point. I think people are going to feel what they're going to feel about it because of their own personal experiences and the things that they've gone through and, you know, the things that people that they've cared about have gone through. I don't think there's necessarily a right or wrong way to respond to it. What I don't think is okay is telling people that they're wrong for feeling however they feel, or that they're right for feeling however they, like, death is funny. Everyone experiences it differently. Everyone goes through it differently. It was a tragedy. Any way you look at it, it's horrible. Redemption. I don't know. He's the only one that could really answer that, whether or not he was truly redeemed or did enough, or I guess you'd have to ask the woman that he assaulted if she felt that he did enough. I don't know. As far as like, I've never cared, like Bill Clinton got a blowjob. Don't care. I don't care about infant.
Kobe certainly wasn't the first sports, you know,
he's like not the first Tiger man Woods in power all that to stuff. Cheat on his yeah. significant other. He's not the first spouse to cheat. I don't ever care. I don't care that Trump cheated on his right. I don't care.
Right.
Like, that's none of my business. It's none of anybody's business. That's between him and his wife and his family. Like, marriages are hard. Marriages are complicated. Like, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, good and bad, behind the scenes that nobody knows about. It sucks for his kids that it will always be there for them to read about. But was that worth the $700 million that he got paid so that his family will always be taken care of even in his death? I don't know. You know? Like, yeah. There's a price you pay for being rich and famous and having that kind of money at your disposal, and that price is usually your privacy. So, I don't think it's right that anyone debates it, but it is what happens. So,
yeah,
I personally do not. I don't care who sleeps with who, unless you're sleeping with a minor, then I care. But beyond that, sleep with whoever you want. It's not my business. That's between you and your wife. Or you and your priest, or you and whoever.
Yeah, whoever.
It's not between you and your
God, whatever, yeah. Yeah.
Stace, what do you think?
It's hard to talk about because it's like, when are you speaking ill of the dead? Yeah. You know, so it's hard to to respectfully talk about it. I don't have any money in the game. I don't follow sports, so I don't. It's super sad. The situation itself is sad. A lot of people died, a lot of kids. So, yeah, the situation is sad. As far as, like, what Stacey was saying about people being up in their business, like, who are you to say that she should or shouldn't forgive him? You know, that's what goes on behind closed doors in a relationship is so different than what you see in the public's eye. And that's for anybody. That's for, like, your friends too. That's not just famous people for being, you know, on display on TV. That's for everybody. Mm-hmm. You don't know how they are behind closed doors. So you don't know the entirety of the situation to say if she should or shouldn't forgive him. But what I am surprised about, and to take it away from Kobe, let's, like, just say we're talking about somebody totally different because I don't want to speak ill of the dead. At what point, like, you know, from what you're saying, is rape redeemable? You know, like, when do you forgive and say, oh, it's okay. He redeemed himself. He had his apologies. He's a better person now, like, because he did this when he was younger. Like, when is it okay and forgivable, I guess, is my question.
Well, I think part of it, I think that's a good question. And part of it is to remember too. And again, there's two sides to every story, but he said he believed it was consensual. So it's not even so much that he said, yeah, I raped her and now I've learned from it. And I've whatever. He has said, I believed our encounter was consensual. I now understand that it wasn't. He apologized. It's like with everything. Cause I don't even so much, I don't even know how much it's speaking ill of the dead, because I really do. I do feel that people can be rehabilitated. And I think you know, at what point, what do you guys think? Are you rehabilitated? If it was something else, if it was burglary or whatever, are you always still an accused burglar? Even though, you know what I mean? Like,
I feel like at what point have you sort of are redeemable, you know, like you know, but like, as far as rape, if he did it, if it went down the way she said, is he redeemable? Mm-hmm. Like, what makes him, what does he have to do to be a good guy again?
Yeah.
To be honest, like, I think you can, like, this is where I stumble, is because, not because we're speaking ill of the dead, but because I feel like it's putting words into the victim's mouth. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do that, but I feel that, there might be a line where you can think that he's redeemed, but still not forgive him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, like, I 100% think he has turned into a great guy, but I will never forget the harm that he caused me, emotional, physical, all of the above. And whether or not she ever finds a way around that has no bearing on whether or not he's a great father and a good husband again. And it might even make it even harder on her that she had to suffer this horrible pain from him when now he's like this great guy.
Here's the other thing too, is because, and I understand what you're saying, and I do believe in rehabilitation for certain crimes. And no, I can't say unequivocally that it's A, B, and C, because I think it's a case by case basis, and the damage that's done. And, you know, murdering one person could be very different than murdering another based on situational experiences. But when this all went down, too, remember, his knee-jerk reaction was to say, I don't know that bitch, which causes Kobe fans to call her all kinds of things. Like, and he was so sure that this isn't something he did that he even went through a DNA and then he goes, oh, well, then I thought it was consensual, which makes me think you're a liar. If he had said right away, I am so sorry. I thought we had a mutual understanding. I clearly did it. But his knee jerk reaction was to try and damn her. And he was perfectly fine with that until the DNA test.
And those and his lawyers went after her. I mean, it was
far more
brutal
scrutiny than you or I would.
It was pretty brutal. She did say in her testimony, which is, it's so hard. I feel like everything's such a case by case thing, because she did say in it she only told him one time that she didn't really tell him to stop. One time she said she needed to go, and she's not sure that he even heard her, because he didn't react in a way that would confirm that he heard what she had said.
But isn't that, haven't we seen this before? The victim blaming themselves for what goes
down? Yes, it's called the morning show.
I'm just saying. Play devil's advocate, and this is your thing. This happened 17 years ago.
Don't say that.
It happened one time 17 years ago. You make a mistake. You read the things wrong. You are too aggressive. You apologize. You do something to move forward. Like, I feel like he, and I don't know if I'm out of turn in saying this, I feel like he's done far more good in his life than...
I guess it depends on who you asked.
Because in my mind, like,
what she felt.
You were to ask her, she probably would say, no, I don't fucking care what good he's done.
How long did she wait in between? Was it a long time, or was it like a month before accusing him?
I want to say
take DNA.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if like she went and did a rape kit and then came back 6 months later and said my rape kit's on file.
Oh, I don't know. I believe that she went relatively soon after. That's just from what I recall.
So it's not like he could look back and be like, I don't know her, and then see her face and be like, oh gosh, that was 5 years ago. Yeah, I did sleep with her.
No, I don't think so. And she ended up, like, she didn't want to testify, and then they ended up settling out of court.
Yeah, she remained anonymous.
I feel like there's a difference between, like, it got a little rough, and I wasn't sure if it was consensual because she was kind of role-playing, or I tore her clothes off, and it was very obviously, like, I raped her. You know what I mean? I feel like we need more details with this. It's two different things.
Yeah, I mean, and you can read the testimony. She said definitely the kissing and that kind of stuff was consensual. And then it progressed from there, and she told him she had to leave and didn't think he heard. And I mean, so it's one of those things you're like, okay, and I don't want to go through all the details but it is one of those things where you're like, it's such a fine line of like, a time, like he wasn't perfect, and he definitely like had these things in his life that I'm sure he wasn't proud of, but it's such a weird concept of like, I don't think we should pretend it didn't happen just because he died.
Right.
But I think it's worth recognizing that like, yeah, he did a bad thing, but I don't know if that condemns him to be a bad person for the rest of his life.
No. And I agree with you on that. Like, yeah, I agree with you on that. Like, I don't think that when he perished, I do not think that he was necessarily a bad person.
Yeah.
But just because he wasn't doesn't mean that his bad doesn't count any longer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think it erases all of the good things that he's done. Like, I just feel like we have this cancel culture, which is so hard because I know I play into it too. With Michael Jackson, I was like, man, that's crazy. What a loss for the music world. But at the same time, like, fuck that guy. Like, he molested a bunch of kids, but he also didn't own up to it. He didn't apologize. He didn't do anything to, like,
would
it's such
Kobe
a...
have if she hadn't had the foresight, like, the wherewithal to go... How many women get raped and aren't quick enough to go to the police and get a rape kit? Especially rape, where you were consensually making out with someone and it escalated, like, beyond what you intended at the moment.
I don't know. I don't think he would have ever done anything because he said he thought it was consensual.
Right, like, so I don't... That's my kind of, like... Are people guilty once, when people say they're sorry once they're caught, are they sorry because now you've been caught and forced to face it? Or, you know what I mean? And I agree. I think what happened to Kobe is horrific. I'm not.
I don't
care about basketball. I don't.
Right. Really That's care.
My thing. I think he was, I think he was genuinely a really good person. I really do. I mean, he was super smart. He was super generous. He was.
Would you have felt that way if it had been your mom he raped?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think this is like that. What that thing is going to be something I think about. I mean, it's like with Michael Jordan, right? Everybody wants to, you know, Michael Jordan's this hero or whatever. Michael Jordan went and played baseball because he was suspended from the NBA for gambling. I mean, that's why he went. That gambling?
No, he was far from perfect.
He got his father murdered.
Yeah.
His father was murdered over his gambling debts, and it's not something that was publicized, and it's not something that's whatever. But people are going to mourn when Michael Jordan passes away. Sure. Like, that's going to be a thing that happens. Sure. And so I don't know. I think it's one of those things, right? Like, yeah, Michael Jackson changed the world of music. He also molested a bunch of little boys, and that's a thing that happened.
And but, changed and their I, worlds forever.
But, and I probably shouldn't even equate that because I don't, in my personal opinion, I don't think Kobe Bryant's on the same level as R. Kelly.
Oh, I'm not saying he is. I'm saying he contributed a lot to the music world also. Correct. And he still did all of these horrible. I think the other part of it that's kind of in, that angers people, call it what you will, but the average person who rapes wouldn't have been able to settle out of court for millions of dollars.
No.
They'd go to jail. So it's one of the, but then again, he's a black man. He probably would have been thrown in twice as long if he didn't have money. So there's all these like contradictory things going on. I think people are allowed to feel whatever they want to feel when something like this happens because it's a complicated situation. I've never really had any feelings about Kobe Bryant, so I don't. Mm-hmm. I feel for his family a lot, but I also feel bad for the girl that he did that to. Like, there's, you can feel both things.
I think I'll be honest.
I think we turn a blind eye to famous people with talent because, like Michael Jackson, I have a lot of friends that are like, I'm never gonna watch the documentary because I love his music and I don't want that to be tainted. And it's like, sure. To turn that blind eye. Like, look at all the celebrities that do bad shit. Singers
look at Trump.
Right.
Look at all the shit Trump has
that's
done
on a different level.
No one fucking wants
totally
to hear about
different
it.
Level. Like, but I mean, like,
I don't know. I just think it's, I think it's different. Like I said, he's one of those, I would put Kobe on the level of like an Al Franken or an Aziz Ansari or someone like that as far as
seriously.
As opposed to as far as somebody who apologized for what they did and took their whatevers, like, yeah, I think so. I would not equate Kobe Bryant to an R. Kelly or a Michael Jackson or a Trump or a, again, it's a single accuser, it's a one-time thing, it's a it's not a pattern of repeated behavior.
I feel like, okay, so this is my, may go over really poorly, but like I 100% equate any sexual misconduct with someone else's sexual misconduct. Like, I'm repeated behavior or not, like I still think that he's a rapist. Like, I don't necessarily, like I'm still, like, I'm very sad that Kobe Bryant is no longer on this, on this earth. Like, I'm very sad about that. I am more sad that his daughter is gone from this world. Yeah. I am more sad that those little girls are gone from this world, that their parents are no longer here. Like, I am more sad about that because there's a part of me that feels like the privilege that Kobe was handed because he was rich and a basketball player meant that he didn't have to go to jail, meant that he still cheated on his wife again. Like, those things are, those are very hard to get past. And I'm very sad he's dead, but I'm also like, I am more
but also,
sad that these women, that these kids are gone.
But also, I mean, I think it's one of those things too. Was he handed it or did he work hard for it? Because he was a person, did a lot of things. He spoke like three languages. He was, I mean, I don't
saying
think
he was handed you can't be handed being awesome at basketball. Like, you have to work hard to do that. I'm not saying he didn't work hard. I'm saying that he didn't get in trouble the way a person does get in trouble because he did work hard to get to this basketball career that made him all these millions of dollars.
See, that's the thing. I think having money is something that's definitely like his family having money going through this is going to make things 1,000 times easier than if it was a family who didn't have any money.
Well, you don't know that.
And not because it makes it less sad or makes it whatever, but they're not having to deal with, you know, now you have a one income family, or how are we going to pay for funeral expenses, or how are we, you know, whatever. Like, I think there's a benefit to having money, but I also think that, like, I don't think you can equate someone who's in a relationship where, like people like this are, like someone who is away all of the time, to a family where they live in the same house all the time. Like, I just think those are completely different relationships too. And that's why you see a lot more cheating and infidelity on both sides, in relationships where, you know, where someone's gone all of the time. But on top of that, I don't know necessarily that they get it easier, because if you're going to go through a divorce, yours isn't going to be splashed all over TMZ and all in the papers and that kind of stuff. I don't know that it's easier.
No, and I'm not saying that it's necessarily, quote unquote, easier to have money and have to go all through this. I'm saying that he wasn't, because he did have this money, he didn't have to go through what, quote, normal people have to go through. That, like, a normal guy who raped a girl who doesn't have a lot of money doesn't get to just buy her out of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. So I think there's a part of me that's, I feel so horribly bad for any woman that ever goes through some sort of rape or harassment with a man or a woman. Like, mm-hmm. I just feel horrible about that, because I've never had to go through that. I've never been pushed to the brink of being scared of XYZ person. That's not happened to me. So I just feel like in Kobe's case, like, he was a fantastic basketball player. He was what, the greatest? Are we going to say that? We call him the greatest, right? Like, he was probably the greatest basketball player of our time, right? And it is sad. I feel so bad that he is gone, but I don't necessarily feel bad for Kobe. I feel bad for his family. I feel bad that his family has to go through all this now, because regardless of their riches, losing a significant other or a parent is the hardest thing. Losing a parent is the hardest thing I've ever gone through. So, like, these little girls that now have to deal with not having a dad, without having their parent, I can't imagine what they're going through. Like, it's just horrifying. So I'm sad more so for his family than I am about the world losing Kobe, which may be bad for me, but that's where I'm at.
I think it's just hard. I was watching, I mean, I've seen every interview. This devastated me. I mean, it really was. And it's one of those things where you're like, God, I hate Kobe. Like, but if he was on our team, I would have been the biggest Kobe fan in the world. And that's just like, that's just how sports go when you like sports. Like,
you know when you texted and you were like, I'm shook. I was like, Stacey's taking this hard.
Like, yeah, because it's like, to me, Kobe is one of those people who, like, regardless of any of that, like, he's somebody that, like, he is Los Angeles. And I don't know if it's just different. It's different if you live in another state. It's different if whatever. Like, he was somebody who young Black kids could look up to. He was somebody who, you know, he just was, like, he was so, he understood the game so much. And he was so generous, and he was so smart, and he just was seemingly an awesome dad. And like I said, did a lot for women's sports. And I think when you make a choice like that, that you're going to dedicate yourselves to, like, I have these four daughters. I'm a girl dad. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the whole, like, girl dad hashtag on Instagram that was happening because of an interview he did. I think when you decide, that's a conscious decision you make, that, like, I did this thing and now I have daughters and now I understand, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel there's that
growth
and stuff. And like the stuff that he didn't get to do is super sad to me. Like, there's a lot of basketball players that I love that I've watched interviews with, and not a single one of them mentioned his basketball skills first. They talked about what an amazing person he was. Draymond Green did an interview where he talked about, like, when he was going through some stuff publicly, Kobe reached out to him and was like, hey, like, this is what's important. Your family's important. This is important. Like,
okay. But two things can be true.
Right. Like, and I told you, I truly believe that you can be redeemed. But as far as being forgiven, I think it's all about the person that it happened to. And that's where I don't think it's up to us to be, he's forgiven, but I think that he can be redeemed to a certain extent. His character arc, you know, came to a point where we were like, okay, he's not a bad guy, but XYZ still happened. And whether or not we can move past it is, I mean, we're gonna kind of have to now. So
everyone's allowed to feel however they want about it.
That's, yeah.
And all of those opinions and everything are colored by everything everyone has been through in their life. And everyone may feel very differently about it. Had they had a brother who had raped someone and they loved them and cared about them and felt that they were doing better, you know, later on got married. And a person who was sexually assaulted could feel differently about it. There's no right or wrong answer.
Right. But like, here's the question. So let's talk about this. Cause Stacey brought up the whole, like, speaking ill of the dead thing. Like, at what point is it in bad taste for people to say, because there was a comedian and I forget his name. I know Michael Rappaport shared the video, but who was like, I'm so glad he's dead. He's a piece of shit rapist, blah, 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 blah. At what point is that not okay? Like, this is somebody's husband and father and son and brother. And like, this is very.
Yeah. But so was Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. People are saying that about Michael Jackson too. And I'm totally all for, like, that guy's a piece of shit. Yeah. Like, I watched the documentaries. Yeah. So I'm on that side of the fence, but mm-hmm. at what point are my friends that are like, I won't even watch the documentaries because I love his music so much, I'm in denial. You know, like, they're like, don't watch the documentaries because it's speaking ill of the dead, where I'm like, eh. Well, but because he sucks.
I think there's like a that, right? Like, I just think when it's that fresh and it just happened and this guy posts this video about what a piece of shit he was and blah, 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 like, like, they haven't even, like, this is, like, this just happened, like, 2 hours ago, and I think you need to let people process it and let people.
There's things, of course, there are things that are in poor taste. Absolutely, there is stuff that you shouldn't, especially because he does have daughters that still exist in this world, that is absolutely in poor taste. I don't disagree, but I mean, I think we can still talk about the good and bad things that he did, because it reminds people, too, that people are still people. And one of the dangers of putting people on pedestals is saying that you're willing to possibly ignore the bad things they've done because it threatens your sense of right and wrong and what's okay and what's not okay. And it pushes those boundaries for you, which is why having heroes, like real heroes that you think are infallible, is a dangerous practice to get into. I think you're completely right. Everything you said, Stacey, I think he probably did wonderful things. He's probably one of the best basketball players that ever lived. I don't know. I don't follow basketball. I don't doubt that. So the things he's contributed, I feel terrible for his family and for the other people in that helicopter. And I also feel terrible for this girl or this woman that this happened to, because now it's being all dredged back up because everyone is debating it online. And I feel bad for his kids that while they're mourning the loss of their father, they have to watch and listen to everybody debate the type of man he was, because to him, he's their dad. So there's
And I think it's okay to feel bad for him. I feel bad for him. I feel bad that he died early. I feel bad that he's never going to see his daughters grow up. I feel bad that he had to be in there in that moment with his daughter, like to try and comfort her in a moment that I don't know that you can ever comfort anyone in. I feel bad that his two youngest daughters are not going to remember him. They won't know him at all. I feel bad for all of the things that he could have done in the role that he didn't get the opportunity to do. And so I think it's also valid to say that, like, I don't just feel bad for everybody else involved. Like, I feel bad for him. That's sad to me. You know what I mean?
You can, like, feel however you want.
I feel like on the other end of the spectrum, in poor taste, is the videos on TikTok that are tributes to him, where people are, like, pretending to be him, going through the pearly white gates, and they hold a basketball, and he's like, where's my daughter? And then a girl comes in. I think those videos are really gross.
That's in poor taste.
Right. I think they're trying to do something nice, and that's in real poor taste. You're doing it wrong.
There's no need to reenact heaven, ever.
Ever.
No.
So weird.
It's super weird.
So it's just been like, it's been an emotional like couple of days for me. It really did. This one hit me really hard. And like, again, cause I love basketball so much, and seeing a lot of my favorite, Matt Barnes, if you ever get an opportunity to watch a video, like of an interview that Matt Barnes has done, he's so eloquent and he's so smart and he's so, you know, I think he's amazing, but, all of these videos, and it just goes to show you, like, I don't know. It was poignant to me. All of these people who were like adversaries of Kobe's, like on the court, but really when push comes to shove, they drop their shit and people are just people. And like, it's crazy to me that we can't do that just in life. You know what I mean? We can't all just agree that like, hey, this is sad and we're all really sad that he's gone. We can't agree that like, hey, we shouldn't put kids in cages. We can't agree. Like if these people that are getting paid to be on opposing teams and actually compete with each other can just drop the shit and everybody is taking these 24-second shot or, you know, they're taking shot clock violations and they're taking these things like they literally get paid to play against each other. And it just makes me think of like how we have these like, you know, political like team adversaries that we've made. And at no point are we willing to just drop that and say, this isn't okay. This is okay. We can all agree on the same thing.
I do have one thing to say. I kind of think that's different though, because like these guys knew him. Mm-hmm. They 100% right. knew him. They knew that underneath the different terms that you would like to call him as far as his sexual misconduct goes, there was this really wonderful, genuine human being. I don't know that about him. Like, I never met him. I've never seen him. I never even seen him play. Like, as many times as I watched a Bulls game, I never was there to witness him play. Like, so I just think that there's a moment when if you know someone, you can find the human decency within yourself to honor everything good about them.
Well, and maybe that's why so many people feel that way, because when you watch somebody all the time, you feel like you knew them.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if it was Matt Barnes or who it was that said, like, if you were a fan, you're mourning. If you're a fan of basketball, you're mourning. If you're a fan of sports in general, you're mourning. And if you actually knew him, you're devastated.
That's real reminiscent, though, of like the whole Brett Kavanaugh thing, though, too. All these people coming forward and saying what a wonderful guy he was and all these great things. And now his entire staff is female, and he's helped bring females up in the legal world and, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's got a wife and a kid and yada, yada. It doesn't change what happened to Dr. Ford.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, I don't think that.
I know you don't. I know, and you can feel however you want about it, because you have a deeper connection because you love basketball so much, so you felt this differently than someone who's just looking at it from the outside.
No, I disagree with that, because I think so. This is like,
how do you disagree with that?
Because Brett Kavanaugh, like, to equate Kobe with Brett Kavanaugh, I think is ridiculous. Like,
well, I mean.
Because he, a year ago, was saying, no, I didn't do that. When Kobe, like...
If there was no DNA test, who knows how long Kobe would have been saying, no, I didn't do that.
You can't hold that against him, because you don't know for a fact that he wouldn't have.
How like, can you not hold a DNA test against someone who raped someone?
I'm not saying you can. I'm saying that you can't hold against him a hypothetical, what would he have
done. Oh, okay.
Like,
all right, okay.
You can't possibly hold that against him. Realistically, especially somebody who's saying, I didn't know that that was the situation. Like, I don't get how you, there's not, I mean, that happened when it happened. It was 17 years ago. Brett Kavanaugh was still lying about something he did a year ago that happened in the, whatever, the 70s. That's it. To me, that's very different. So you don't get to say, you know, it's the same situation when he's been working on himself for the last 17 years to be a better person and a good role model and a good dad and a good whatever. And Brett Kavanaugh, talk to me in 20 years and maybe I'll say, you know what? Brett Kavanaugh really pulled himself together and he really did a lot of shit. It's not the same thing to me.
It won't happen.
Put some fucking years in, Brett Kavanaugh, and then we'll talk. You want to be the most amazing, like, advocate for women ever in 20 years? I'll give Brett Kavanaugh the credit he's due if he earns it in 17 years, but...
Technically, they're saying that nobody's come forward since his time in college, which was well over 17 years ago. And he has, even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that he's done a lot of work for women in the legal field.
So maybe that is a positive. Maybe that's a positive that comes out of something negative. I just don't, I don't know at what point we have this litmus test for when you.
Well, you're saying that it's redeemable.
Yourself. I
so
think
Kobe's
it could be.
Redeemable, but Brett Kavanaugh is not.
No, maybe he is.
Oh,
I was
Stacey, don't go down this road to be right.
Why? I'm not. I don't
it's
see
a
how.
Dark road. You have a flashlight.
No, I do. I'm saying I know what I saw during that hearing. I wouldn't say that from what I saw during that hearing, I think Brett Kavanaugh is redeemable. If somebody has a bunch of evidence that shows that he's redeemable, I'm not stubborn enough to say I don't agree with that. If I'm saying that, who knows, maybe he's done a bunch of wonderful things.
That's what
maybe
I was
he
has.
Say. Yeah. And I don't know. That wasn't anything that was shown during that hearing. So I don't know, but I'm level-headed enough to be able to say if somebody showed me irrefutable evidence that, you know what, he's done more good for women in his life than he has bad, I would be the first person to admit, you know what, I think there are things that can be redeemed.
I think that's
which
the,
I think is
the question is, mm-hmm. like, is, I'm not saying that Kobe did or didn't do it, is mm-hmm. definite rape redeemable? However long later or whatever they do, is like hardcore, that is definitely rape redeemable. Like, does that person get redeemed after
so long? I feel like there's a difference between redeemable and forgivable.
Right, and you said that earlier, and I feel like that's definitely.
Yeah.
I like that answer.
I think it doesn't erase the bad thing you did, but should you still have to, you know what I mean? Like, how long are you just this person that can't ever move on from this thing that happened?
Well, in the same way that I think an alcoholic remains an alcoholic forever, I think a rapist is always a rapist. What you do with your life after that term gets slapped onto you is what matters. Now, do I think that Kobe lived the best life he could after he became a quote-unquote rapist? No, because if he did, he would have never cheated on his wife again. Now, do I think that cheating is the worst thing you could ever do? No. Do I think rape is? Yes. So there's a lot of things going on here that I'm just not sure that he could 100% be redeemed for it. Do I think he tried his ass off to do that? Yes. Do I think that everything he tried to do to make himself better and to make himself better for his family is a
but
good
here's,
thing?
Here's the real question too, because just like society does, we're sitting here debating him. When really, and we said it on here earlier, like, look at Dr. Ford. She's still reeling from what happened to her. She's in therapy 35, 40 still. Years later. Like, it devastated her life. And Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her, but did not forcibly have sex with her. And she's still reeling from it.
Sure.
This woman, how we can talk about the things that Kobe has done, but is she still dealing with her sexual assault? Like that, when we say how long does the person have to go to redeem themselves, how long does the person that was assaulted have to go? Like,
I know, but if you set up these circumstances where you can't really ever redeem yourself, then why should people try? Okay, I just feel like if we have a culture that's like, well, no matter what you do, you're always going to be labeled this, then why should people even try and be better people? Like,
I'm not saying that they shouldn't. And doing a lot for the WNBA is very different than going out and speaking to young men about consent. Like, there's different ways to redeem yourself for feeling bad for sexually assaulting a woman. And maybe that's a matter of opinion, and what I think should be done is very different than what people are going to do or what they're willing to do or what they think is right. All of this is conjecture because it's all opinion. Yeah. It's all based on like, well, I think he should do this. Well, I think he should do this. Well, I think he did everything. Well, all of it is just opinion. Like, do I think Kobe could have done a lot of different things with his money and his time and his platform and his power to rehabilitate himself, or at least because he was such a role model, an absolute role model to young black men, do I think he could have done different things to talk about sexual assault and rape and consent? Yeah.
So it sounds like you're saying you don't think he owned it.
I don't know enough about it. I'm just going off of the things that I've heard in the last few days.
Right,
and I'm
like,
in
exactly.
no position to actually judge Kobe Bryant. I don't know him. Like, we're having this conversation just based... I'm trying to picture him as any other guy, not Kobe Bryant. Like, how would I react to any other guy?
Well, and like, you didn't, like, think, like, while he was alive, like, oh, I wish he would be doing this with his money. Like, you're just thinking about it now because he's no longer here and we're hearing about all the things he did.
I didn't think about Kobe Bryant at all.
Right, exactly. Like, ever. Like, you were like, oh, I really want these sweet Kobe Bryant sneakers. Like, that was not in your wheelhouse. But, like, you know, Stacy, on the other hand, obviously knew things that he was doing and knew the money that he was pumping into the WNBA as far as, like, trying to make it, like, a legitimate sport, whatever. I mean, so, like...
And all those things are good things.
Right. Like, agreed. And I think that there's a time when you just have to be like, okay, so this guy is going to live on in people's memories how they want to remember him. And his daughters hopefully don't hear the crap for the rest of their lives. They are able to hold on.
I feel terrible for his daughters.
Yes, they're able to hold on to their dad. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this was my dad, and like he would hug me and hold me and love me and everything.
Well, and that's the sad thing. Like Bianca and Capri are so young. Like they won't have any memories of him. Bianca, I think, is only 3, and they just had Capri over the summer.
But I think the benefit too, though, is of the fact that he was famous, is that they will have memories that, like, a lot of people don't have, like, of our parents. Like, well, I have VHS, like, things of my mom. VHS, like, it's eventually will be defunct. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll have to transfer to, you know. So I'm saying, like, they at least will have these memories of their father that will live with them. And will they grow? Sure, like, whatever. Yeah. But, like, I truly think at the end of the day, the real sadness is that his family has to live without the daughter and him forever. And that's sad. That's very sad. Regardless of what he's done,
I completely agree.
It is sad.
Before we run out of time, I feel like Stacey needs to talk about TMZ leaking the story before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not ready to talk about that yet, so hold on. Let me one more thing. I just wanted to say, like, I don't want this to be, like, a beat-up Kobe. Like, that's not what I wanted, so I don't want this whole episode to be, like, debating whether or not he gets to still be somebody's hero, because I wanted to talk about how important it is, like, that he, like, what?
I just said too late.
I know. God, I didn't realize you guys were all going to jump on the hate Kobe bandwagon.
I don't know Kobe Bryant.
I just feel so, like they're talking about what are good ways to honor him and to do things. And I was, God, I watched so many, like, interviews now that I don't even remember who it was that mentioned it, but they talked about retiring his daughter Gianna's number at the Staples Center, and I thought that was, like, such an amazing, like, that was such a good idea, because any interview you hear him talk about his kids or talk about whatever, like, and they'd ask, like, oh, does Gianna, like, want to play in the WNBA? Like, oh, no, for sure, like, that was going to be a thing that happened. He had already trademarked a nickname for her, and there was, like, that was going to be a thing that happened. And I just thought, like, them having that bond over basketball and people trying to pressure him to, like, oh, you guys need to have a boy. You need to have a boy because somebody needs to carry on your tradition. And he was like, no, I don't need, like, I have her. I don't need that. So I thought, like, that would be such a fitting tribute for him or for her, like, to retire her number.
And I think that's very sweet. I agree
100%. That's making me choked up.
Yeah, that's a great way for the Los Angeles Lakers to honor one of their greatest players ever. I agree.
And, like, I don't know if you guys watched any of the interviews or anything, but, like, all of these players that I was, like, such huge fans of, and, like, Matt Barnes is the only one I can admit. Otherwise, like, you have this thing where you can't admit that you like players that aren't on your team or that are on teams that you hate.
You're such a guy sometimes.
It's a thing. But, like, somebody needs to check on Shaq, because Shaq is not okay. I don't know if you guys saw.
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Kimmel did an entire episode. Like, he canceled everything. He did an episode entirely, like, dedicated to Kobe because he'd been on the show so many times, whatever. But, like, Shaq's younger sister just passed away, like, a little while ago. And obviously, like, him and Kobe had a very famous, like, feud, and, you know, like, they had a lot of shit that went down, but, like, he was doing some dark speak on when they interviewed him the other night. And so I just felt like somebody needs, like, there needs to be a well check on Kobe, or not on Kobe, on Shaq, because he is broken up about this thing. Like, it's been a lot of loss for him.
It's hard.
If anybody's listening that knows Shaquille, do a wellness check.
Yeah. It got dark into how, like, he's not sleeping, and even the guy he works with, he doesn't really talk to them like he should. And he hadn't talked to Kobe since, like, I think since his last game. And he was just talking about how we're never going to get to hear his Hall of Fame speech. And I mean, it's really sad. Like, I watched it and I was like, this doesn't even just make me sad. Like, this person is broken. But I'm glad that it's, like, inspiring other people. Like, Tracy McGrady was talking about, you know, he really learned what he needs to be doing to support the WNBA and to be supportive of that, because after retirement, him and Kobe are having all these run-ins with, like, AAU tournaments and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, like, they're, you know, they turn into glorified soccer moms after these, like, prestigious careers in sports and stuff. And I just think...
Before we get into TMZ, I'm going to say something nice about Kobe Bryant. Okay. I
don't know why I'm laughing.
I think this whole thing is a good reminder that people are complicated. And do I think Kobe Bryant was a serial rapist? No, I don't. Do I think that he went on a rampage and raped several women? No, I don't. I also don't think it takes away from the one that he did. I also think it's good that this is going to bring more awareness to the WNBA and hopefully women's sports overall. And I'm sure this is one of the hardest things that Los Angeles will go through, because they do worship Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. And I think it's lovely that the Lakers are considering retiring her jersey. And I think it's unfortunate that this is what his kids will go on to read back and forth. And I do think that is a responsibility parents have to take when they make decisions. Like, their kids will read about stuff.
I will say the thing I thought was smart was him and his wife had an agreement that they wouldn't fly in the helicopter together.
You know, I know other couples that do that. They will not fly together if they have kids. They take separate flights or whatever, just in the off chance that, like, I mean, a lot of people I know don't have, I shouldn't say I know people that do that. My aunt and uncle wouldn't do that. Like, most people don't have the time or the money or whatever to invest in something.
My
husband
won't drive the four of us in the car together with my new 16-year-old driver driving. It's not worth wiping out the whole family. I'm like, Jesus, that's terrible.
But he's not wrong either.
Yeah.
Thought
it was smart. TMZ.
Yeah, so TMZ took a lot of heat from the sheriff's department, which they should have, because they were the first people to break this story, like, literally minutes after the helicopter crashed. And so they basically lit them up for it. Like, there's a process for notifying next of kin, and the coroner has to come in. They have to ID bodies. Like, there's a process for doing that. And so not only Kobe, because people know, like, it's not like it's a random helicopter that crashed. Like, people knew it was Kobe's copter immediately, because in LA, like, he's been using that copter to fly from where he lives to, like, the Staples Center and stuff for years, because it saves time. You can be with your with your family. Being that big and sitting in a car is uncomfortable. Like,
and
there's
if
a lot
can take
that goes
a helicopter,
into it.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
in LA traffic.
Right, not anymore.
And he had said too, like, he'd rather spend time with his family than waste time sitting in traffic. So, like, so it makes sense. But so you're talking, like, they called it Kobe One, like Air Force One. People knew what this helicopter was. So for his poor wife, like, obviously, like, that's going to get reported immediately. But then you think about all, like, they didn't know his daughter was on board. They didn't know about any of the other people that were on board. And obviously, like, if you know your family member, your loved one, whatever, is flying on this helicopter, and you see that it's, you know, it crashed and everybody on board died, like, that's devastating. I can't imagine getting the news of something like this happening, especially with such, and I shouldn't even say young people, like their lives aren't worth more because they were young. It's just sad because there's all this promise, but then you have people that were older, but our parents, and, like, the whole thing is just tragic and devastating. But I couldn't imagine learning about the loss of a loved one on TMZ. Like, it's horrific.
Or on Facebook.
I was just telling you guys today that that somebody posted on Facebook today that my dad was in the hospital, and before I even knew.
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely insane. I don't know why people all of a sudden think they're public information officers, and it's their business to report on things like this. Like, it's
so So my mom passed away in November. It was November 10th of 2011. And we were at hospice with her. She had lung cancer and that had spread. And it was awful. Like she was, it was time for her to go. Right. And I'm literally, I was peeing in the bathroom and I get a frantic knock on the door that she's gone. And I'm like, absolutely devastated, right? Like, I'm just like, oh my God, like, I've all the times to fucking die, you're gonna die while I'm peeing. Like, I was like so upset. So I rush out, I go into the room, it's sad, blah, 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 whatever. I'm not gonna go into all those details. My first thought after crying was rushing out and telling all of my aunts and uncles to make sure no one posted it on fucking Facebook. Yeah. Like, it is not your... it is not your space to do it. Like, it's not yours. Mm-hmm. It's mine. It's my space. I get to be the one that says anything. Like, it's me. I don't want to talk about it right now. I don't want to tell anybody that she's gone. I don't want to come to terms with it. So to be on the other side of that and to learn about it on Facebook, I don't know how I would ever have handled that. Or to learn about it through some other source. I think I would have probably been more devastated with that as a factor than anything else. It would have been devastating. I don't know. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. Like, because just losing my mom, and I'm not famous, nor was she famous. So it's just, I just can't imagine. I cannot imagine.
I do think that there's areas of your private life you sacrifice when you're famous. I don't think that should be one of them. I don't care how famous you are. Mm.
I always wonder how much they get paid. Like when the teen mom girls like don't even get to announce their pregnancies, people, their friends like leak it to TMZ. And then it's like, I'm like, how much did your best friend get paid to actually like ruin your pregnancy announcement? I know that's not on the same level. I'm just saying, like, how much did that dude get paid for that story to make it worth it to him?
I feel... we've said it 100 times on here, the whole situation is absolutely fucking tragic, but I feel even worse because Kobe and his family are used to the spotlight being on them. I'm not saying it's right, but they're used to that kind of attention. I feel way worse for the families that weren't, and their aunts, uncles, siblings, mothers of those children, you know, like, I feel really bad that that's how they found out, because they are not accustomed to dealing with anything like this, and to not be accustomed to that and to see it on any outlet, but especially, oh my God, the mothers of those girls. I can't even imagine if I heard it on the news first. Like I'd be real upset.
Yeah, both moms were on there, right?
Oh, well, the dads then. The father, yeah. The other parents.
Yeah, so the Altobellis.
The other parents. No, I know what you mean,
but, like, the Altobellis, so it was the mom, the dad, and the daughter. So now there's another son and a daughter who lost a majority of their family. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely horrific. But one of the other things that people don't think about when it comes to something like this was they were on their way to an AAU tournament. And there were hundreds of people inside that gym who then, instead of just, hey, they didn't show up, whatever, they continue with their games, they have the opportunity to talk to their kids about this devastating accident when it actually comes out. They're finding out in real time. And I don't know if I know people who knew people that were in the gym because they're from that area, and seeing videos of it, it's heart-wrenching. I mean, there's like open sobbing in this gym full of 12, 13-year-old girls. It's absolutely devastating. And it
weren't
just
they like dropping to their knees and stuff? Like they were just.
Yeah, because you're not just losing one friend then either. Like losing anybody at that age is hard. But now you've lost.
Three teammates, your coach, the assistant coach, like that's a lot. And like, and then on top of that, you have like the misinformation, right, too. So I think it was on SportsCenter. They had Rick Fox. There was rumors that Rick Fox was on the was on the helicopter also. And if you guys don't know, he's a retired Laker also.
Wasn't he married to some... Who was he married to?
He was.
That's how I know him. He's got really pretty blue eyes.
Vivica A. Fox. Yeah. He's got curly hair and
But he's got really pretty blue eyes. Is that him?
Yeah. And curly hair.
Yeah. Okay. I know. Who, I know basketball.
Look at you, you basketball fan.
But him saying like what his family went through, because there were rumors for several minutes that he was on the helicopter also. And he was just hanging out with his daughter, wasn't paying attention to his phone, whatever. And the frantic calls, call after call after call after call from his mom, from his whoever, because they thought he was on that helicopter too. And I mean, him so choked up that his family had to go through that also from this like irresponsible reporting. Because people forget TMZ's not a news agency. TMZ's an entertainment site.
Yeah, they're like a gossip rag.
Right.
You know, and that's like where it's so sad that the rush to be the first one reporting on something drives people to do things so heartless.
Right.
You know, that's the real sadness here, is that they wanted to be the first ones to report it regardless of the repercussions. They didn't care.
It happens. We were talking about this the other night when because Lex had gotten a change.org petition to sign about like disbanding TMZ and stuff. And although I understand the sentiment behind that, but here's the thing too. I told her it would happen to common people too. Like, let's say you were in a plane crashed and, you know, it was the plane from San Francisco to Pennsylvania or to BWI. And I knew you were on it. That would mean that I would be sitting here worried that was that Lincoln and Lex? Like, that happens also because we're in such a rush to report news when they're saying plane crash. We don't know how many survivors there are. Like, those families are finding out. And it's almost like the negative side to having all of this information at our fingertips so instantly all of the time. Or even when you hear about a pileup on 4 and you're like, oh my God, so-and-so commutes.
What kind
this
of
time
car was it? Yeah.
Right. So, but I can't, when it's a helicopter is identifiable as Kobe Bryant's and you knew that your family member could have been on it, that's as terrifying as knowing that a plane crashed and it's too much sometimes. It's too much. No. We speed up the human process of like grieving and mourning and figuring things out and like acceptance because of everyone's need to know everything instantly.
Yeah.
And
in
some ways it's a good thing that we're able to find out things in real time. And sometimes you're just like, God, I feel so bad for the people in school shootings when kids are sending text messages and videos out and stuff. Like, yes, I understand the benefit of that, but that must be heart-wrenching for the family members of those kids who either A, aren't getting messages for whatever. Like, there's all these pluses and minuses to these types of things. Like,
I agree. I just think it's irresponsible, right? Like, no actual news organization is going to confirm something that hasn't been confirmed yet, right? Sure. So none of the actual like fake news outlets, apparently, because you know how they all are, like, none of them report that kind of stuff. It's all these editorial blogs and stuff, and it's like, you should have the decency to follow the same guidelines that everybody else does. If you're going to pretend that you're news, you should act like it, because it's to me, it's horrific.
Well, and like Stacey's question, how much do they make off of it? Like, because you know, there's monetary value to it, right?
Right. Like, what piece of shit can be the one who's like, I made so much money off of selling the story about Kobe Bryant's helicopter crashing. Like, that to me is a piece of shit human being. Yeah. Like, a lot. Or Princess Diana, like, of these things, like, I don't get how somebody couldn't
but
do
it
that.
Works, right? Because as soon as we all hear about it, we click on it, we want to know what's happening, you know, it works, and none of us have evil intentions about it. You're just like, oh my God, what happened? And you go searching out whatever has it. So as soon as one news agency reports it, they all jump on board because they can't be the, because we're driven by clicks and advertise. I could go on a whole diatribe about this, but it's
I have one more question for you guys. Okay. So, and again, with you guys not being basketball fans, I don't know how much you know, but the night before this happened, literally 12 hours before this happened, LeBron James passed Kobe's record. So the last tweet Kobe sent out was congratulating LeBron, whatever. How guilty do you feel, or how weird do you feel if you're LeBron James? I am not a LeBron fan because I'm a Warriors fan, and it's just the thing. Well, of course it's not his fault, but don't you think there's a... It's weird. It's really weird.
I mean, I think it's... I think if it had to happen, it's probably better that Kobe had the opportunity to congratulate him.
Yeah.
And to say good job. So now he has no... nothing that holds him back for the next game, not wanting to beat Kobe's record because he just passed away. Like, if it was going to happen, that's probably...
Yeah.
It's better than a shitty text.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
It's probably... Yeah. That's probably the best way it could have happened for everyone involved, because now people can say, no, Kobe, congratulate him. It's fine. And not beat up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's better than you didn't take the trash out.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know. I just think it's... Again, LeBron's another person that I'm like, ugh, LeBron. But, like, if he was on the Warriors, I'd be the biggest LeBron fan in the world. I genuinely think LeBron is a good human being, and he does a lot of good
LeBron
things.
LeBron was the GOAT.
I don't know. Kobe is
something different. I don't know anything about
basketball.
Different.
I'm just
talking shit. Right. Like, poke.
Like I said, I'm not even a Kobe fan. I'm conditioned to not be a Kobe fan, but this is one of those things that's like the great equalizer, right?
You're definitely
in sports.
You're a Kobe fan now.
I'm not. I'm a Warriors fan.
I don't know. I feel like you're
But this is what I love about sports. This is what I was saying. We're in politics. I feel like people are just too pigheaded to do it. This is what I love about this, is I can say, like, I'm not a Kobe fan because I'm
pigheaded to admit that you're a fucking Kobe fan.
No, this is what I'm saying. But when it comes to moments like this, then you're like, okay, all bullshit aside, he was a phenomenal athlete. He was, like, it's in moments like this. When you're in the middle of competition and whatever, like, it is what it is. Like, I'm not going to root for the Lakers. I'm a Warriors fan. If you were like, hey, why don't, you know, tell me how great Clayton Kershaw is, I'm not going to. But if he was on the Giants, I bet I'd be a big Clayton Kershaw fan. But if he died or something like this happens, then I'm like, hey, you know what? Like, sports isn't that important. This person was a good person. It just, it's different. And
it's
like
when John McCain died, right?
Right.
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 Like,
right. Most people could agree he was a decent human being, except right. Fucking Trump.
What about Michael Vick?
No.
Oh, that 30 for 30 comes out tonight, and that's going to be real
interesting.
Well,
it's even when, like, the George Bush Sr. died.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain people that you can, it's...
You can just go, okay, we're not, and it's a little different. It's not, it's... You know,
well,
not
right, because
but still sports at the end of the day.
We're also talking about John McCain was a war hero at the end of the day. Yeah. He was.
Yeah.
And
yeah, of course.
So there are different, like, weights and balances to it. But even people who are staunch Democrats and super liberal were still like, John McCain tried to do the right thing when it was really, really important. Not always.
Right.
But when it was really important.
Yeah.
But then you wonder, if this happened to Hillary, would Republicans say the same thing?
No,
literally never.
No. You think they're not going to be, like, dancing in the streets when Obama dies? No. Please.
I know.
I think there are people that were not, like, super sad when Carrie Fisher died because she was crazy. Da 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 da. And, like, Stacey, you and I were, like, ready to fucking cry a river. Like,
right.
You know, so Justin Timberlake saying yes. About, like, we were literally, like, crying. Like, it was horrifying. Yeah. So I think there's obviously deaths that are going to, unify people and then, like, also divide them. And I think Kobe Bryant's death has brought people together more than it's pulled them apart.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think something, not that anything good has come from this. I don't know. You know what I mean? When stuff like this happens, like, the one positive takeaway I have seen from this, and we've talked a lot about, like, when we watched The Masks We Wear. Is that what that was called? The documentary?
Which
what
was one? That
called? We watched
something. A lot. There were
wait,
two,
the
there
one
was
on the one on YouTube?
Guys
no, late. The one about boys and not showing their feelings and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the one thing that I will say is, like, it's so healthy for people to see not just men, but African-American men and people that are prolific in sports crying.
Sure, absolutely.
Like, that to me, not that it should be exploited, not that it should whatever, but, like, the images, like, you don't get to see images of men crying very often, and I think it's so healthy for people to see that it's okay to be upset, it's okay to have feelings, it's okay to cry, it's that those things are normal and it's okay. And I will say, like, after all of this, like, it's refreshing to see, like, like, and not try to hide it and not try to, like, the person I think I've seen the most cry on TV over all of this is Doc Rivers, and he coaches literally the biggest rival to the Lakers. And I just think it's healthy for people to see that.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree too. Like, I think it's always healthy for people to see other people crying, especially when it's a group of people that aren't supposed to cry. Like, men aren't supposed to cry, right. You know? Like, so it's great to see guys crying, because you're like, it's about fucking time. Like, I've been crying for almost 40 years every day, you know? Like, come on. So it's nice to see guys be able to be in touch with their emotions in such a way that they aren't ashamed to cry.
What's everyone obsessed with this week?
Oh, I'll go first. I am obsessed with Sex Education on Netflix.
Such a good show.
Literally one of the best TV shows. I mean, I say this every time. I'm like, literally the best show, Mrs. Maisel. Literally the best show, Schitt's Creek. Literally, but
I'm glad you're not in charge of giving out, like, Emmys or...
I know. I'd be like, well...
Everybody gets one.
Everybody gets an Emmy. I'm like Oprah. You get an Emmy and you get an Emmy. Like, seriously though, Sex Education is so well done. It is so well done. Like, it is, it, you know, the different dynamics that are in it, the different sexual preferences that are in it. I like that they hit on, like, asexuality. I like that they hit on, like, bisexuality. I like that they hit on pansexuality. Oh my God. And then, like, Jillian and, what, and I just totally blanked her name.
Jillian Anderson from X-Files?
Yes! Oh yeah. My God. How did
she
I
plays
totally
the mom.
She's the mom?
Yeah. It's a really good show.
Wait a second. Stacey, you haven't watched this?
I haven't watched it. No, I've only watched Kobe Bryant interviews since Sunday. So.
Oh no, the first season of Sex Ed came out like last year, the year
last
before.
Yeah.
It's really
good. It's on
good.
Netflix, right?
Yeah.
So
it's
you
a Netflix
will love
show.
It.
It's really good.
It's British.
It's super funny. Yeah.
Super funny.
It's
British.
Well, it's funny drama, not like funny slapstick.
Yeah.
Okay. It's funny.
Yeah,
drama.
I would say dramedy. Like, it's
the dramedy. Okay.
It's definitely got its very deep moments. It is super well acted. That this cast is just incredible. I think, to be honest, I'm surprised it hasn't received more accolades, but I'm not that surprised, because it just deals with so many different things and it's so
diverse. With a lot of sexuality that people are uncomfortable discussing.
Right,
It's a lot of self-discovery and acceptance, and accepting your friends, and accepting that you can't change certain things about people because some things just exist. Like,
accepting yourself,
yeah,
too.
It's really good.
But there's a part in this season which there's not a spoiler.
It's like,
and I'm
it
not
takes place in high school, too. So it's right. Like, okay. Real, but it's not like a teen drama at all.
No.
It's very adult.
It's not Riverdale.
But... No, yeah, okay.
It is very good. Like, there's a part where it's two gay boys and they're going to have sex for the first time, and the one asks him about douching, and he's like, oh sure, yeah, I douche all the time. And then you find out that he's literally a virgin and he's never douched before, and he doesn't have any idea what that even means. And it's just that whole, like, arc of him, like, figuring it out and, like, talking to his boyfriend about it. And I just, it is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. If I feel like watching it is going to only help yourself just be more out and open.
So
with
the main character, like, his mom writes, she's a sex therapist, and it's actually kind of funny because he has a lot of insecurity because she's so open and overly, like, honest about sex. He tries to, like, hide certain things from her because he's like, mom, I just don't want you in my business. And she's like, no, masturbation's like natural. You should just talk to me about it. And he's like, I don't want to talk to you about it. So there's also this kind of, like, weird contrast of being a parent and being like no, everything's fine. It's cool. Like, it's okay if you do all these things. And the kid's like, I don't need you to know all of the stuff about me. Like, just pump the brakes. She's like, can I get you porn material? The whole thing is just really, it's funny. It's smart. It's really good.
And the best part about, like, the first season too, is that, like, he takes all of this sex education he's been hearing throughout his lifetime and decides to dole it out to his fellow
he becomes
student.
A sex therapist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Basically becomes a sex therapist for money at school. And that's, like, the whole premise is that he decides, like, like, I can do this. Like, I can totally dole out sex education. Yeah, it's totally fine. And, like, sometimes it backfires, sometimes it doesn't, but it's just the whole, the first season is all about that, and then the second season, it delves more into, like, the characters. And, God, there's this one bully, and he is just an absolute dickhead, and you hate him, and then towards the end of the first season, you love him, and then, oh, you gotta watch it. It's so good.
Okay.
So very, very good.
All right.
God, I'm obsessed with, I mean, Super Bowls this weekend. The Niners and the Chiefs, man. Like, is anything more important right now? I don't think so. I don't think anything's more important. Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about that. And I got to go on a wildlife preserve tour today, and I got to meet the smallest full-grown bunny rabbit I've ever seen. He would have fit in the palm of my hand, and he was adorable, and his nose just wiggles up and down and back and forth, and they weren't necessarily scared of humans. Like, he kept a respectable distance because he was like, I see you,
a respectable
but I'm
distance.
Very interested in what you're doing here. So I think it's really cool. I found out that the state of California pumped millions of dollars into this wildlife refugee program to make sure that they care about these itty bitty, I mean, literally 3,000 acres of preserve has been dedicated to this bunny rabbit and these cranes that migrate there. Like, it was really cool. So, I want to take Lex and Lincoln and the dogs to go walk around it, 'cause I think they'll get a big kick out of it. There's like there's over 1,000 cranes that live there. So they're just awesome. Everywhere. And they feel so safe there that they don't care that humans are walking around. And I just think that that's a really, it's a really interesting experience to be in a place where they know that you're not going to harm them. So they just go about their business. So it's pretty cool. So go Niners and support your state parks.
Yeah.
Stays?
There's a crane that lives in our front yard.
Is there?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Every morning. Well, you leave when it's still dark out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I see him at like 7:30 in the morning. I've been sitting here this whole time trying to think of what I'm obsessed with, and I got nothing. It's just.
You've been taking care of sick Lincoln.
The same as last week. 12 hours a day, I live, breathe, and eat Lincoln stuff. I can tell you that the Sesame Street is shitty now because they changed the song, and it's not the same like people. So it's not
sunny.
Well, no. I don't want to get too ridiculous, but you know who you can thank for that not being on PBS anymore?
Trump.
Oh, I watched it on HBO Go.
Wait a second. What is the
for the shitty song now?
Yeah, what's the theme song now?
It's the same words. They sped it up and made it like fast and weird.
Oh, it's
and
like
modern.
A pop song.
Yeah, it's a pop song now.
Great.
And I watch Toy Story like 3 times a day. And I just saw on Facebook these two kids took 8 years and made an in real life Toy Story. You can like go on YouTube and put in real life Toy Story. And it will show you the entire movie. It's almost 2 hours long. And these kids did it all, like, clay animation, cardboard, everything. They did the entire movie. It took 8 years. And they were dedicated and did the entire.
That's incredible.
It's amazing.
You watched the whole thing?
Dedicate yourself to anything?
I watched probably 20 minutes of it just to see, like, how they dealt with the kid, Andy, being in it. Because it's Toy Story 3. So it starts off with, like, all the toys, and then it goes into Andy, and I was like, how are they going to do Andy? And it's one of the kids playing Andy, the kids that is, like, filming it. It's really
cool.
Cute.
I don't know what she's going to do when Lincoln leaves.
I'm going to have my life back. Oh, like, what do you mean? I'm going to finally watch my own TV shows?
Boo.
I can't even imagine. I'm going to do all the things.
She's going to miss him.
I forgot how... like lonely it is, I guess, being a stay-at-home mom with a toddler.
Yeah Toddlers are rough, man.
All the people around you come home and talk about their day at work and what they did and what they saw and who they talked to, and you're like, I watched Sesame Street the same episode 4 times and he pooped twice.
Hi, I'm
that's
Elmo.
That's all I got. That's yeah.
I do voice? Quite an Elmo impersonation.
Oh my God, I thought he literally just made a cameo. I was like, Dang, Elmo's here.
Stacey, what are you obsessed with?
Yeah, Kobe besides Bryant. Besides Kobe, it's just so sad. I'm the kind of person that buries myself in this kind of stuff when I don't, I think I'm, it's just because I'm empathetic and I need to know all the things.
My love.
Yeah, I just am empathetic and it's whatever. The Super Bowl, I am so excited and I'm trying not to get my hopes up and I'm trying to stay cautiously optimistic and I don't know how to feel about it. It's so different when you watch it and your team's not in it and the stakes are so low. But like, I might as well be, you think I'm worked up about Kobe? You would think I'm playing in the Super Bowl on Sunday. I'm like, I gotta get my uniform ready. I gotta make sure I'm fueled. I need to make sure.
Like, are you carbo loading?
Yes, actually.
Cat with the Alfredo.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a carbo load with fettuccine Alfredo. Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's happening. And I am going to be so elated if things go our way. And I'm going to be so, like, I can't even talk about it.
I'm excited about halftime. J-Lo, what up?
Okay, not to be that person. I'm not. So I hope it blows me away and it's, like, amazing. But I think, like J-Lo's kind of cool. I hope she does some, like, Jenny from the Block. Shakira, I could really kind of care less about.
But these bitches
are going
to fucking rock your world, all right?
I hope they do, but I'm, like, eh.
We're switching it to the Puppy Bowl during halftime.
I hope there's some cool, like, special guests. I hope there's some cool, like...
Vaginas, puppies. I mean, really, it is a toss-up. I don't know.
Maybe that's why I'm not excited. I'm not, like, attracted to either of them. Maybe that's why I'm like, oh,
no,
Shakira,
because, like, wait, Lady Gaga Hustlers. Rocked it when she did it.
It was so good.
Beyonce rocked it when she did it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're not Post Malone.
I'm surprised it's not Post Malone either. Isn't he like? He's very popular right now.
Top of the charts
Let's
right now.
Let's talk about Maroon 5 though. Like, what a snooze
Let's
fest.
Talk yeah. about when they're going to finally get Taylor Swift Old to do play. The halftime show.
Why? I mean, I get what, you know, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Why?
Boom. Oh, I just assumed with her mom being sick
oh,
and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's why yeah. she's not going on tour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, that would have been so much better. And then you do the whole, like, someone outside your genre and you do it with them and it's a whole thing. And so I'm like, okay, well, J-Lo and Shakira, like,
same genre.
They both sing pop. And so
there'll be some
that.
Random person we don't know about that will be there.
Oh, we're already putting bets on it. We have, like, the over under on Ricky Martin showing up. Is, like,
what about Enrique Iglesias?
So we have money on Ricky Martin. I hope it's someone crazy, like, you would never expect, but, like, I hope it's amazing. I hope I come back on next week and I'm like, that was the best fucking halftime show I've ever seen.
It's gonna be
I'm not gonna put money.
What's wrong? Are you okay?
The J-Lo gods are striking her down. The gods that keep J-Lo's butt perfect are striking her down right now.
Right? It's like, you're like, and smite.
I choked on air. I hope it's amazing. My expectations are low.
I hope it's amazing. My expectations are J-Lo.
The first time in the last several years, excluding 1 year, I'm more excited about the game than I am about the halftime
show. That's allowed. You're a fan. Like, I'm only rooting for the 49ers because of you guys.
Thank you.
I love
that.
You both. So
we need it. We need all the support we can get.
Yeah, and, like, if the Bears were in it, now then I'd
the
be
Bears.
A Bears. But the Bears will never be in it again.
The Bears.
That's hilarious.
You know what? Let's do the Super Bowl shuffle before the end.
Everyone's drinks good?
No.
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 Yeah, mine was good.
Mine was delicious. Jackie loves her. She's going to buy 17 more bottles to help the kids with heart problems.
Well, now I feel like I have to. You've committed me to it.
No problem.
Real monster if you don't.
Name to the purchase.
You're a real monster.
Real monster if you don't.
Have a great week, everyone. Go Niners.
Go J-Lo.
Rest in peace, Kobe.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Peace.